also listen to us live online. 1 o'clock is the time. The news now read by David Cornett.
Many thousands of people have poured back into Tahrir Square in the Egyptian capital Cairo and are resisting efforts by the military to move on demonstrators and bring the city back to normal. There have been some scuffles between soldiers and protesters. The demonstrators are said to be suspicious that the military leadership will be slow to repeal security laws and introduce democratic reform. It's emerged that during the 18 days of protest, which removed President Mubarak from power, looters stole important exhibits from the Egyptian Museum. They include a gilded statue of King Tutankhamun. A number of people who were arrested on suspicion of breaking into the museum 2 weeks ago are being questioned. Italy has declared a humanitarian emergency after the arrival of around 4,000 migrants on the southern island of Lampedusa. Most of those arriving are thought to be Tunisians fleeing their country after the ousting of President Ben Ali. The Prime Minister has strongly defended his programme for a big society, denying that it's simply a cover for spending cuts. Mr Cameron said it was about changing the way society was run and that it offered opportunities for charities on a massive scale. The Swiss have been voting in a referendum on gun control. Reformers have proposed that Swiss men should no longer be allowed to keep army-issue weapons at home after their military service. However, exit polls show that most people have voted to retain the current system. The Hollywood actress Betty Garrett has died at the age of 91. She made her name in MGM musicals in the 1940s, one of her most memorable roles being Frank Sinatra's taxi driver sweetheart in On the Town. Her film career was cut short by the Hollywood blacklist when her husband, Larry Parks, was forced to testify about his membership of the Communist Party. Dame Julie Andrews has received a Grammy Award for Lifetime Achievement. She was presented with the honour ahead of tonight's annual Grammy Awards ceremony in Los Angeles. And the weather showers across most areas and windy at times. The west will be brighter later. BBC News and weather at 2 minutes past one.
And it was read by David Cornett. We're now on Radio 3, the early music show. Catherine Bott with the second of this weekend's programmes featuring the viol consort Fretwork.
When Francis Drake undertook his epic circumnavigation of the Earth in 1577, he took with him his own musicians and a consort of viols. Drake's intention was that the group would entertain him during his journey and also provide music for prayers. This piqued the collective imagination of the viol group Fretwork. What was the music they would have performed? And what would the Elizabethan musicians have made of the different musical cultures they would doubtless have encountered during their long journey around the world? Fretwork's response was a creative one. Gathering together a mixture of English and Spanish pieces from the time, they devised a suitably Drake-inspired programme and then commissioned composer Orlando Goff to fill in the rest. The result is a musical depiction of Drake's heroic voyage. We'll hear highlights from a recording of the piece that we made at the 2010 York Early Music Festival. Part of Orlando Goff's music for The World Encompassed. That's a moment from the score representing Drake's arrival on the island of Mogador off the Moroccan coast. And I'm delighted to say that while we're not anywhere near the Moroccan coast, we're in a BBC studio, but Orlando Goff is with me now. Welcome, Orlando. What drew you to this project in the first place?
Richard Boothby of Fretwork came with this idea, which had obviously been in his head for a long time. He said, was I interested in it? And I took about half a second to say yes. It seemed like a really brilliant idea, because what he was asking me to do was to kind of imagine the local music that Drake's men would have come across as they went around the world. And I'm very interested in folk music anyway, and very interested in writing for viols, and somehow the combination was irresistible. Of course, there was a kind of obvious question of how you do that, because the local folk music would undoubtedly have not been on viols. Might have been in Java, would have been on some kind of gamelan. In Patagonia, it was probably mostly vocal. And so what was this all about? Why should we do this? But actually, it's a very intriguing idea, I think, to try and represent this music on these very particular instruments.
Thank you.
And so Drake's ships leave Plymouth and after 2 weeks' travel arrive off the Barbary coast at the island of Mogador, and from there to the Cape Verde Islands off Western Africa.
Thank you.
part of Orlando Goff's Music for Viols, depicting Drake's voyage around the world, performed by Fretwork. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, joined on this occasion by a very welcome living composer, Orlando Goff himself. Orlando, how unusual is it for a composer of nowadays to be asked to write for a period instrument ensemble like the Viol Consort?
The viol had a kind of lacuna for 150 years in which I don't think anybody wrote for it. And it's very interesting now to be asked to write for it because, of course, it's not, as an instrument, it doesn't have the kind of baggage that, say, a violin or a cello has. In a way, it's quite freeing, I think, to write for viols now. And also, one imagines that the possibilities haven't been explored to the extent that, they have with more conventional instruments. So, actually, it's a really great opportunity.
What did you glean from listening to original viol repertoire? Or didn't you? Did you go to it with a complete mind?
I gleaned a sense of the, of course, of this kind of gorgeous rolling polyphony and these very balanced voices. And then rather bloody-mindedly went off and wrote something else. I mean, of course I wrote something else because what I was trying to do was to conjure up a whole lot of folk music, which is not European music and probably had absolutely no relation to European music at all. So there was no point in really gleaning very much from what they normally did, but simply to try and make something new and interesting.
Well, from Cape Verde, Drake and his crew make the 54-day journey across the South Atlantic to what was called Port Desire on the coast of Brazil. Orlando, your music here definitely fuses traditional elements with original material. What were you hoping to do in expressing this 54-day voyage?
Well, the 54-day voyage actually is summed up in about a minute and a half by an English folk dance called Fortune My Foe. Really a very, very beautiful piece, which we hear a couple of times during the voyage. And then we get to Port Desire, and then we're into very strange territory. They're meeting Indians for the first time. They're rather fascinated by the Indians and sort of slightly alarmed by them. The Indians do a lot of dancing, which they can't quite understand, but seem to be relatively friendly. And this is the first major encounter between Drake's men and some people who have got some music to introduce to them. And in my version, we hear this kind of proto-samba. I imagine that because we end up with samba later on in Patagonia, then there's going to be some kind of very, very early version of it, so that the viol consort plays this kind of sort of samba piece, which is a fabulously ludicrous idea, really, that these gentle European instruments playing this kind of music. But it also seemed really interesting to try and see what happened. And that music kind of crashes up against a hornpipe that Drake's men play. It's actually the Portsmouth hornpipe. There's no real fusion. I didn't imagine that there would possibly be any fusion, that actually the whole relationship with the Indians was far too fragile for any real fusion. So that we just get this simultaneous moment of the Portsmouth hornpipe and the samba.
A collision rather than a fusion.
Exactly, a collision. Thank you.
and In Nomine by Robert Parsons, one of the pieces that could well have been heard aboard Drake's ship as he journeyed round the world. It was performed by Fretwork as part of Orlando Goff's musical depiction of Drake's voyage, The World Encompassed. And with me in the studio is Orlando himself. How much research did you do into Drake's voyage, Orlando?
I read the book, The World Encompassed, which is by Sir Francis Drake, the nephew of the great man, which is an unbelievably, ridiculously unreliable book and very, very misleading book to read, first off, because he based it on the diary of Fletcher, who was the ship's priest, who himself was extremely unreliable because he considered that everybody that they came across was heathen and had made some ghastly mistake in their life which needed to be corrected by Drake's men. So that the book is mostly lies, omissions and spin. So that was a rather strange introduction. I then read a couple of books, sort of modern books about it, and then did a bit of very, very kind of approximate ethnomusicology and tried to find out what the music might have been like in all the places that Drake went to, which is essentially an impossible task.
Well, let me do the hard-hitting news presenter question now. Drake, he's the bold, fearless hero playing bowls on Plymouth Hoe and all that sort of thing. But for the Spanish, he was a pirate, a brigand.
Yes.
Really not to be reckoned with at all in praiseworthy terms. Exactly. Where do you stand?
I stand quite near the Spanish, actually. I mean, of course, they were fantastically brave. Of the four ships that set out, only one made it through. I mean, it was a ferocious voyage. They got into a 50-day storm down near Tierra del Fuego. But I think it's worth remembering that Drake went out with a grudge. That's why he went on the voyage. He went out with a grudge against the Spaniards, and he wanted to show them who was who. And part of the reason why he circumnavigated the world was because when he got up into the north part of South America, having been past the Spanish main, stolen an enormous amount of gold from the Spaniards, he didn't dare to go back because the Spaniards were on to him by that time. They knew he had all this gold that he'd stolen from them, and they wanted his head. And so he was really obliged to go around the world. There was no other way back, really.
Well, the next section of The Great Voyage is the most extensive, and it depicts the conflict with the Spanish settlers. Grudges a go-go. On the west coast of America, because Drake has by now passed through the Magellan Straits, and his discovery of what we now know as California. Can you talk me through how you depicted this great episode?
Having decided not to go back the way he came because of the Spaniards being around, they get lost, basically seriously lost, and they go floating out into the Pacific, kind of wheel round, and really I don't think know where they are at all, and end up, in a way, by luck, on the coast of America, this place called Bodega Bay, which is very almost exactly where San Francisco is now. So they've gone very, very far north, and they encounter the Miwok Indians. And the Miwok Indians, certainly according to the book, The World Encompassed, are a bunch of totally miserable people who go around kind of beating themselves up and singing miserable, miserable music. And then the Drake's men introduce them to the marvellous world of Calvinism and Protestant psalms and hymns, and they cheer up miraculously and do a dance of triumph and sing gorgeously kind of optimistic songs, and it's all been a huge success. And they swear allegiance to Drake, and Drake names the place Albion and plants a flag, and it's all marvellous, and then goes. And so the piece I've written kind of tries to depict that. It starts with this kind of miserable procession in which I've used some of the songs of the Miwok Indians. And then we hear All People That on Earth Do Dwell, the hymn. And we get this miraculous transformation in which the music becomes extremely frisky and dance-like and speeds up and speeds up and speeds up. And then Drake's men go.
Well, this sounds wonderful, cheering up Native Americans.
Yes, isn't it?
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, I know.
Where the weather isn't so good as it is in Southern California, so no wonder they were such a miserable lot.
Of course they were.
But we should say that this section actually begins with hints of Spanish music by Milan and Mudarra from Drake's own time, and a piece by Robert Parsons. So we've got Spanish music from Drake's time, English music from Drake's time, and then what Drake's men managed to do for the natives. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Orlando Gough's depiction of New Albion, what we now call California. Orlando, the most colourful part of Drake's voyage, among many colourful parts, is perhaps on the journey home through Indonesia and Java. And Java in particular prompted you to create some of the most uncharacteristic viol music imaginable. Tell me about what inspired it.
I imagined that the music in Java would have something to do with the music in Java we know now, which is gamelan music. So it's music played by a 30 or 40 piece ensemble of percussion instruments. And then I imagined what would have happened when the viol players got home to England and their friends said to them, what was it like, this music in Java? You know, how did it go? And they would say, well, it's difficult to describe, but it sounded a little bit like this. And then they would play something, and that's what I wrote, essentially, which is a kind of viol version of gamelan music. So what it has is some of the kind of structural elements of gamelan music, in particular this gamelan idea of having a very, very slow tune in the bass and a double time tune in the tenor, and then twice that in the alto, and then twice that in the trebles. You get very, very, very fast music in the treble viol, almost impossible to play, but not by fretwork. Then something else that you get in gamelan music, which is a kind of combination which really interests me, between something that is very structurally tight, in fact almost mathematical, but appears to be quite loose and improvised. And what they do is a lot of accelerando and decelerando, a lot of speeding up and slowing down in what appears from Western ears to be a completely random way, which is interesting. There appears to be a kind of strange anarchic element about this very mathematical music, and that's what I've tried to get over.
Well, we're going to hear your depiction of Java for viols, but before it, in contrast, there's Sit Fast by Drake's contemporary Christopher Tye.
Thank you.
Orlando Goff's gamelan-inspired depiction of Java for viols, part of The World Encompassed, his commission for fretwork, a musical portrayal of Sir Francis Drake's 16th century journey around the world. Orlando, you said earlier on that viols come without any baggage of great, great repertoire in the recent past, and you found this liberating. I mean, it really is an extraordinary triple juxtaposition. Collision, fusion, whatever you like to call it, between ethnic music, early music, and Goff music.
Yes, and of course, the so-called ethnic music in this piece is so coloured by my ideas. My idea first about what I think the ethnic music might have been, and then my ideas of how I normally compose, that what we get is unquestionably a kind of mongrel music. there's nothing pure about it at all. And in a way, it feels to me a bit like the original book, actually. It's spin, really. It's lies, but it's lies in the service of some kind of weird truth. And I must say, I really enjoyed that kind of playful aspect of the piece. That, you know, of course, in a way, it's a very serious subject, Drake's voyage around the world. But actually, I've treated it in quite a playful way, because I had to own up that I didn't know much about the subject, and it was very difficult to find out that much about the subject, and it mostly had to be invented.
Orlando Gough, thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
On the 18th of June, Drake and his men rounded the notorious Cape of Good Hope. Fortunately for them, their journey was comparatively easygoing. From the Cape, they continued to Sierra Leone on the coast of Guinea. They arrived back in England with riches beyond their wildest dreams on the 3rd of November, 1580. Drake had stolen so much Spanish gold and accumulated so much treasure that he could pay off the entire national debt with lots left over. The journey had taken him 3 years.
Music from Orlando Gough's The World Encompassed, performed there by Fretwork. The Early Music Show was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Chris Wines. Now, if you're a young composer, you might like to try your hand at writing a new piece for Fretwork, as The Early Music Show has teamed up with the National Centre for Early Music to present their third annual Young Composers Awards. This year, young composers resident in the UK are invited to write a new work of up to 4 minutes duration, especially for the six players of Fretwork. There'll be two awards, one for composers 18 years and under, and one for those aged between 19 and 25. Applicants should register their interest in the competition by Friday the 24th of June this year, and completed scores must be delivered by Friday the 16th of September. A short list of entries will be workshopped by Fretwork in York on Tuesday the 25th of October, after which the two winners will be announced. The winning works will then be premiered by Fretwork in December of this year in a public concert given at King's Place in London, and this concert will be recorded for broadcast on Radio 3's Early Music Show in the new year of 2012. If you'd like to enter the competition, full details of how to apply and a list of the terms and conditions can be found on the Early Music Show webpage at bbc.co.uk/radio3/Early Music Show. This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 1 minute past two. And now here's Fiona Talkington with more of your Radio 3 requests.
Hello again. Elegance and energy are combined in the first request this afternoon. Vincent Bullman from Wolverhampton has asked to hear the overture Raymond by the 19th century French composer Ambroise Thomas.